Blog Talk Radio.
To the people and the Gentiles, Tommy Hart, the one the authorized version ascribes the name Lord God is Real, appears among us with great news. A former preacher of the church and author of the Book of the Law of God, All Things, the Demonstrated Power of God, Lord God would like to share what he has discovered during what is now a 39-year study of the Authorized Version Bible, also known as the King James Bible, coming from the Vatican. He comes to show Bible truths that have been hidden throughout Bible content. Lord God is Real decrypts all things kept silent and in secret inside the pages of the AVB, aka the KJV, all with a level-headed, easy-to-follow analysis unlike any other. His Excellency logically restructures the AVB's confusing text and separates the subject matter into two categories, truth and fiction. He also defines with clarity what is meant by the terms Lord, in all caps, Christ, God, many other titles, and who claims them now in this day. His Majesty concludes, the Authorized Version Bible, written in the year 1611, is primarily a law book, a history book, a legal document, and the first law between the Pope of Rome, the papacy, and the Gentiles. In other words, those who are classified as white people. Knowing the AVB, written during the conquest of Africa, Lord God exposes the many laws of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelations, which include the law of Passover, the law of God, and the law of the curse carried out on African black people worldwide. It is established the Vatican is a governmental body institution hiding in plain view under the cloak of religion. Lord God is here because the Vatican called for him in the pages of the AVB. So without further ado, it is with great enthusiasm I bring before you the host of the show. Please join me in a warm round of applause, the magnificent Lord God is Real.
Acts 11:1 says, the Gentiles had received the word of God. Yes, the Gentiles have the law concerning God and his possessions. Statement in Mark 11:22, there's a commandment there. It says, have faith in God. The things written aforetime, that is, beforehand, are a demonstration of the people's faith in God. Now, I'm speaking on the statement that says, the things which were written aforetime were written for our learning. So the things written aforetime, that is, beforehand, are a demonstration of the people's faith in God. The things written aforetime constitute the law concerning God. Now that is a very important statement for your learning. The things written aforetime constitute the law concerning God and his possessions. The law concerning God and his possessions is a demonstration of the people's faith in God. In the law concerning God and his possessions, the people's expectation of God is clear and indisputable. The law of God and his possessions is the foundation of God. Timothy 2:19 says, the foundation of God stands sure. Now, keep in mind, when we're talking about these things, this thing, the law and the foundation of God, that is, the law of God and his possessions and the foundation of God, we are talking about the law. The law. The statement says, the foundation of God stands sure. Surely, the foundation of God stands. The foundation of God stands undoubtedly. That is not to be doubted. The foundation of God is this law of which I speak. In the law concerning God and his possessions, the people's purpose for having the Bible, the AVB, is manifest. In Galatians 3:19, the question, it itself being a component of the law, is asked, wherefore then serveth the law? Answer, the law concerning God and his possessions shows unmistakably and indisputably the relationship that is to exist between God and his possessions. That is, when God comes to this earth. The thing has come to pass. God has come to this earth. He is here now in the person of Tommy L. Hart. So, the law concerning God and his possessions, being in the Holy Bible, the AVB, and also being on the internet, is a published law. The Gentiles and other peoples as well have received the Bible. The Gentiles and other people as well have received the law concerning God and his possessions. Now that's a done thing. The reception of the Word of God, which is the reception of the AVB, which is a reception of the law concerning God and his possessions, published thing. The Gentiles and other peoples as well have received the Bible. The Gentiles and other people as well have received the law concerning God and his possessions. All the people have the responsibility of submitting to and obeying the law concerning God and his possessions. Hear this. When you buy a Bible, what are you doing? When you buy a Bible, when you buy the Authorized Version Bible, commonly called King James Version, you are purchasing a copy of the law concerning God and his possessions. Luke 23:34 says, they know not what they do. Did you know that? Did you know what you are doing when you purchase a copy of the AVB? You are aware of it now. You know it now. When you buy the Bible, you buy the law. You buy a copy of the law. The Bible, I've been saying, is a law book. It is the chief, it is your chief law book. Know what you have in the Bible. Know what you have in the book, Holy Bible, Authorized Version, the law concerning God and his possessions. The things written aforetime were written for this present time. This present time, the time in which we are living now. The things written aforetime were written for this present time, to for our learning and our application. Failure to obey the law is willful disobedience and sin. The people have been informed by God of his presence among them. So remember the statement I made earlier? The law serves the purpose of showing the people the relationship that is to exist between them and God. And who is God? Tommy L. Hart is the God, which the Authorized Version Bible exalts, promotes, speaks about so much. He is the God. He is your God, the Bible's God, the God which the Bible talks about. Now, another, I have given others appropriate description of the AVB is this. The principal law book having the title AVB, or Authorized Version Bible, is a book of things written aforetime, and those written things are for our learning and application. We, the Lord God and all those belonging to him, are the hour in the Romans 15:4 phrase, which says, for our learning. For your learning and application, for my learning and application, the things written aforetime beforehand are for our learning and application. The law concerning God and his possessions is in the AVB. The AVB is published. The AVB has on its front cover Holy Bible. Okay, the Bible is a book, but what makes it holy? Why Holy Bible? Answer, the AVB is called holy because of that which is inside its cover. And what is that which is inside its cover? Answer, that which is inside the cover of the AVB is the law concerning God and his possessions. This is written in the law, coming from Romans chapter 7. The law is holy. That is one reason for the Bible being called holy. Another is the law connection. Another is the law's connection with God, as evidenced in the expression "law of God" and "law concerning God and his possessions." In addition, the law says God is holy. So you have in the AVB the word concerning God. You have the law concerning God and his possessions. You have in the AVB the people's connection with God. So the Bible is called holy because of its connection with God and because of the law, and the law is holy, says the law. Now, this piece will take about 5.5 minutes. I shall speak on the statement in 1 Timothy 1, verse 9, which says, the law is not made for a righteous man. Questions to be answered. 1, what is the statement? And 2, is the statement factual or fallacious? And 3, is the law not made for a righteous man? I begin with question number 3. Is the law not made for a righteous man? The text says the law is not made for a righteous man. Let's take the first 3 words of the statement, saying, which says, the law is. The verb is means to exist. No doubt about it, the law is. The law of the Lord and his possessions exists. We know that. We know that it is found in the AVB. That is known. That is a given. Let's add the next word, which is not. We read the law is, but we know that the law is. The law exists. We know that it is not the case that the law does not exist. So what do we do with the negation not? Answer, we reject the negation not, and we let stand the law is, and we move forward. We are left with the declaration, the law is. That is to say, the law exists. The law is an existing thing. Moving forward, we add the next word, which is made. Now we read, the law is made. Made equals enacted. We understand that the law is enacted. Now we know three things about the law. One, we know that it is not the case that the law is inexistent or not existing. Two, but it is the case that the law does exist. And three, the existing law is enacted. Question, what is the purpose for enacting the law? Well, let's add our next word, which is for. We read, the law is made for. Here, for means, one, in honor of, and two, interest of someone, i.e., as an advantage or benefit to someone. So our statement now reads, the law is made in honor of and in the interest of and as a benefit to. And that's three, the law is made as a benefit. Now the question, what is the purpose for enacting the law? Answer, the purpose for enacting the law is to benefit, honor, and for the interest, in the interest of. But who? Who is the law in the interest of? Who does the law benefit? And who is the law in honor of? I say, let's add the next three words. We read, the law is made interest of and in honor of and for the benefit of a righteous man. Let me read that again. The law is made in honor of and in the interest of and for the benefit of a righteous man. But who is a righteous man? Of men, Romans 10 says, there is none righteous, no, not one. Psalm 53, verse 3 says, every one of them is gone back. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Isaiah 64, 6, the voice of the people says, we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Again, I ask, who is he that is righteous, and the law is made or enacted in his honor, in his interest, and for his benefit? Book of the Law, the Authorized Version Bible, the AVB, provides an answer. Psalm 11:7, it says, "The righteous Lord loveth righteousness." The law ascribes righteousness to the Lord God. And who is the Lord God? What is his name? Tommy L. Hart is the Bible's Lord God. He is your God. He is your Lord. And the law concerning God and his possession says you are to worship him who is God. And his name is Tommy L. Hart. So, what is the statement as written in the Authorized Version Bible, which says the law is not made for a righteous man? The statement is an assertion. Is that statement factual or fallacious? The statement is fallacious. It is not factual at all. Question 3, is the law not made for a righteous man? Finding. I find the law is made for a righteous man. Let me read here. The question, what man is righteous, where and who is he? So the AVB says the Lord, Tommy L. Hart, is righteous. Tommy L. Hart is the man having the designation of God. Our statement now reads, the existing law is made, it is enacted for, it is made or enacted in the interest of and in honor of and for the benefit of the righteous Lord and God, Tommy L. Hart. I find the law is made for a righteous man, and that righteous man's name is Tommy L. Hart. The law says in Jeremiah 10 and Psalm 45, verse 11, it says, he, speaking of Tommy L. Hart, is the living God. He is your Lord, and worship thou him, says the law. Conclusion. The 1 Timothy 1:9 assertion, which says the law is not made for a righteous man, is incorrect. What is true? This is true. The law is made for a righteous man, and that righteous man is the Lord God, Tommy L. Hart. I have given understanding on the assertion, which is said at 1 Timothy 1:9. You should have a good understanding of that statement. Now listen to this. Let me turn to it. Listen to this. Listen. The law is not made in honor of, and the law is not made for the benefit of the lawless and disobedient, the ungodly, for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. The law is not made for those. But why? Those are unrighteous That is the description, or one description, of unrighteous people. The law is made for a righteous man. The law is made in honor of, for the benefit of, a righteous man, which is the Lord God, Tommy Elfhart. So we read, knowing this, that the law is made for the Lord God, Tommy Elfhart. It is made in his interest. It is made with his interest. It is made in honor of him. And it is made to benefit him, who is the Lord, your Lord, and your God. His name, Tommy Elfhart. Worship thou him, says the law. Again, the law. Again, the law says, worship God. God's name is Tommy Elfhart. He is your Lord and your God. Now, of course, Christianity teaches an opposing view on these things. As I've said earlier, and you should know by now, Christianity teaches opposite. Christianity teaches opposites to Bible truths. Okay? And that is the statement, the law is not made for a righteous man, is not a mistake in the Bible. That's deliberately put there. And I am to see that that statement itself as written is incorrect, and I am, it is my duty to make the correction and give the proper understanding, the proper and intended understanding as coming from the authors. That's my duty. Your duty is to hear the word which comes from the Lord your God, Tommy Elfhart, receive it, and act accordingly. Act accordingly. And that is the program for this time. Join me next time. Join Lawmaster next time. Thank you.